So I've been looking forward to it for a really long time. I've always kind of balanced a few different activities, one being having another job that allows me some kind of financial security, and but it's also a digital producing kind of job. So it's quite involved and it's gotten a lot more creative. So I had, you know, built this time, carved this time out to do this residency, and it was going to be around 3 months, maybe more. I was very open, and I was, yeah, very much in anticipation of being able to just focus. And the week before I was going to leave, we got a diagnosis that my mum had pancreatic cancer. My grandfather passed away from pancreatic cancer just a few years prior. So it was in my recent family history that we had like been grieving already for that. At first I was like, I'm not going to go really, like I shouldn't go. But talking with family and my mum in particular, she came, flew down from Sydney to Melbourne and kind of put me on the plane and was just like, this might be the last time you get to do like a long trip like this, because, well, she didn't say it in these words, but my other family did, that we would all need to come together a bit when she was going to maybe seek treatment or some kind of way of dealing with the diagnosis when I would get back. So it was kind of already had this bittersweet, like, finite time, life is short, you got to like enjoy it. So I arrived to Hokkaido and everything was probably rose colored, you know, like, wow, this like beautiful residency in a park. The building itself was designed for delegates of the Sapporo Winter Olympics, as far as I'm aware. And so they convinced the city council, Sapporo City Council, to, you know, various different funding pools coming together to repurpose this building as an art residency. And it was really designed with this communal atrium area where you could actually observe others but come together and meet other people that were doing residencies.
After Hokkaido, the band joined you in Matsudo, which sounded like an entirely different experience.
It was.
Tell us about that.
Oh my gosh, it was so actually contrasting. So it's very, very hot for one, uncomfortable in that way. The residency was in a repurposed Love Hotel, which was above a pachinko parlor. So that already culturally sets it upon a very different landscape. It's designed for a very different experience.
I'd imagine such like an assault of senses as well.
yeah, totally. And then also on a fringe city, a sleeper town. So people often just transitory coming through, just staying there because they work in Tokyo, it's cheaper to be there. But that's kind of supplanted what would have been there before. So I'm sure there would have been like a fishing community. I'm sure there would have been all these other kinds of smaller industries that were there in Matsudo. So you've got this kind of modern and then the what was there before. And then you've got the dynamics of having this band and my lovely bandmates who contributed a lot to the Suichen project during the time they were performing with me and are still friends. There was just a dynamic between the two people that was somewhat unexpressed. There was some emotional thing going on that I don't think that they were aware of I was aware of. They still did a wonderful job. It was just that there was a heaviness. There was a heavy emotional energy. Mind you, they also were aware that I was going through something, didn't know how to deal with that. So there was just like this unexpressed stuff.
Let's talk about the sound of this record now. It's quite eclectic. It's got synth pop, J-pop, dub, bossa nova, ambient, and a saxophone that sounds like it belongs to a lost Sade song. But I don't think any of these styles are entirely foreign to your work as Suichen, other collaborative projects, or even when you go through the list of your collaborators. But it sounds like this time around it came a bit more naturally and you've leaned a bit deeper into those influences. What was different with Losing Linda?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Maybe I just like had a lot more practice at, you know, slipping between genres. Don't really like genres. I think that's the same as like just categorizing someone, not acknowledging that how you might perceive your identity or others being fluid, or that you don't acknowledge that people can change. The same with music. Like you expect a band or a bunch of artists to only produce in a particular style is like expecting them to never grow or evolve their music. So and feels very limiting. So I think maybe this time, yeah, I was just a bit more comfortable and not apologetic about it. And it might just be something that comes with a more mature point of a musician's career where you're just like, screw it, it doesn't matter, I don't need to fit in anywhere. Whereas before, I definitely did try and fit in, and that's largely, you know, going from viewed as that younger than I am often. I don't know why that is. Maybe having a younger sounding voice, so that puts you in a category. And then also like female identifying, then also being of Asian descent but often not being fully understood. I use my Chinese name, which is Suichen. People mispronouncing that or trying to understand where that comes from. You know, there's all these things. So I felt already like this apologetic, like, oh, sorry, I'm a bit difficult to understand because I play genre. You don't know where to place me on a lineup. I'm not being cynical on that. I get that it's hard sometimes to find the right way to present an artist. But I spent so many years just like trying to make that easier for people, and now I just don't care. But the times have changed, so I can not care and still have opportunities, which that's more a signifier of there being a bit more diversity in the music industry.
You've created this doppelganger character, Linda, who with her uncanny and emotionless mask haunts the album and artwork, and you know, you've even created a website where we can talk to Linda's AI. Where did this character come from, and how early on in this process were you thinking about her?
This character, Linda, it's not really a person. It was just going to be an expression of how might you achieve recreating yourself, and what is really in this pursuit of trying to recreate a humanoid android? Like, is that a real pursuit, and is that something we should be pursuing? Because it's not really, I don't know how possible it is. I know that there's people, you know, on the very like molecular cell based level, there's a lot of benefits to being able to do things within medicine. But then it's also, all of this is coming from a fear of death and unacceptance of that death and illness are a very natural part of being. So like, where does it end? Where do we stop trying to extend human life beyond how long we're supposed to live and stuff? So anyway, these are big, obviously big things, but I'm bringing that into the context of how those terms kind of emerge in our everyday. And I wanted to make a character that was an expression of that. And the likely subject was myself. Unfortunately, I was like, who is going to be this person? The process I had to go through to make the mask, the silicone mask. Yeah, it's such a personal process. It was so long-winded as well. Like, it was always going to be easier to use myself as a subject. It wasn't meant to be some kind of narcissistic reflection of, like, me being, like, self-obsessed with image or my image particularly. It was more that, like, whom else to play that part? Like, sometimes you just do have to make it for it to become very clear. So
yeah, like it exists in one version in your head.
Yeah.
And then it exists in another version when it's out there, and then even another version when people start interacting and,
totally,
I guess, interpret it their own way,
yeah,
and with their own lived experiences. What's next for you? I hear whispers that you're thinking of another record, something that might even involve more of a band.
Yeah, well, it's already kind of happening. So the music that I made since last year, so that like about a month after my mum had passed away, maybe less, I was making songs like that I've been playing in the set. Sometimes when we have a headline show, we can do a longer set, some spoken word, and then it's like kind of grows into, over the course of like 10 to 15 minutes, that's how long the pieces are. So they're really special and they're very immediate, and when we perform them live, it's very much a band sound. So I wanted to record that and release that. I've sent demos to the two labels I work with, and I'm waiting for feedback. So if they're like good to go and they're like, you know what, screw the radio edit, like 12 minutes, yeah, we'll put it out, then yeah, hopefully it'll come out next year. I want to put it out next year. It's connected to losing Linda. It's like two different sides of a grieving process. So I definitely want to get it out there soon. And that'll be my focus, and live shows as well.